Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, the world-building podcast, where you throw a spaghetti at the wall, and it is up to you what sticks. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. Today's episode is all about architecture, and I'm going to kick it over to Kyle now, because he knows more about this than I do.
Oh, okay. I'm getting the ball. Architecture in spec fic is often based off of our own architectural movements in Earth. There's so many architectural styles across human history, across cultures, and you don't really need to go to spec fic to get architectural inspiration. You can just go to the real world.
There's a lot of really cool shit out there.
There's so much cool shit from I recently watched a great video from Dami Lee, architecture YouTuber, who I highly recommend, and Ethan needs to watch this video, but about the architecture of Lord of the Rings. And she did a great job of showing that when it came to visualizing Lord of the Rings and Tolkien's ideas of architecture, you basically just took Art Nouveau to show the elves, which is very beautiful and craftsmanship. Mm-hmm. And one point she made that was so smart was about, if you're an elf and you live forever, you would spend all the time and all the labor and money that you need to make the fine details that of your architecture because you can.
Yeah. That's
why the fuck
what
not?
Else are you gonna do?
But say you're a dwarf, they go with a much more Art Deco. It's much more
hard, angular lines.
Correct. And easily mass produced and recreated a bunch of times. Still has a stylistically interesting, elements, but isn't as finely crafted. And I thought that was such a great, just a great way to show that a culture's architecture says something about that culture. The choices that mm-hmm. we make with architecture say something about where we are as a society. There's a reason why we're building the buildings we build in the 21st century and not these big Victorian mansions anymore, because labor is expensive, these materials are expensive, people's tastes have changed, we want open floor plans, we want this, we want that, because things have changed. And I think you can channel that whatever culture you're making and say, now they stopped building great buildings because they need to be more practical. They need more housing, whatever. You could say this is now a culture that is spending all this time building great wonders. They're building the pyramids of Giza. They're fucking useless. They're there for purposes that are not practical. But even to them, it's practical in a very specific.
Practical to the pharaoh.
It's practical to the pharaoh. Not so practical to literally everybody else.
Well, the pharaoh is literally God, so the fuck cares about all them
slaves,
Jewish people that were just happily, voluntarily building those things for him.
That's famously what the situation, right?
They totally
were happily and voluntarily doing it.
Totally, they were paid very well and treated very kindly.
And so, architecture.
All the firstborn babies got to live.
This is a hard topic to tackle in that it is. I think, in my opinion, it's so hard to tackle because it's such a broad jumping off point.
Oh, it's massive. And it's also very hard to step outside of our map, start looking at other different, and even if we're drawing inspiration from other existing forms of architecture, there's such a variety that it can be really difficult to, it's sort of like trying to invent a new color where you're like, well,
how?
It's already kind of been done. Everything's sort of already been done. So it can feel like there's not much room to wiggle.
Yeah.
But one cool thing that I think is really fun is to look at Black Panther 2, the Wakanda Forever movie, when they invented the underwater society for the city of Talokan, completely underwater, physics are very different there. They constructed it based on the International Space Station, actually, where mm-hmm. because there is no up or down, there is no gravity, you can just have storage on all four walls. And so I remember watching a video of the astronauts up there saying, oh, where's your bedroom? It's like, oh, well, my bedroom's technically in the floor, but it doesn't matter because there's no gravity. So yes. There's no sense of up or down.
There is no floor.
Right. There is no floor.
There was a floor. We built it.
Right. And similar in Talokan, they show a market that is 360 degrees because you're underwater. So you can just swim all the way. It's a completely different architecture.
Yeah.
Style then. But again, you have to really step outside of your box to get really creative about that. Otherwise, it's very hard to do.
I mean, you look at any genre and they'll show and they will often push the boundaries of logic to make
Escher's stairs.
to make a architectural feature or a building of some sort that fits the tone and the theme of what is going on.
Yeah.
And even if it doesn't make any practical sense, it wouldn't, like, there's no sense for that building to exist. It would be, like, so fucking impossible to do, yada, yada. You can come up with 1,000 reasons why it shouldn't exist, but when you're in, like, when you're in fiction, it's like, well, then just do whatever the fuck you want. Build your tower, Babel, go. Like, nothing matters if it's here for vibes. So I think we're both looking at our ideas, some of this might just be vibes. So
it might be. I think it's also, and it's, I love designing for vibes. The only thing, it can lead to a Planet of Hats situation where, like, this culture, all of the architecture is the same. It's like, well, there might be some more variety in there than you actually think, right?
Yeah. You don't have to just do, here's another English countryside, vibe. Here's another Viking village.
Right.
Here's, like, another, you know,
black and gold
Mediterranean. Art Deco, like. Yeah. Like, I think we need more Adobe style houses. We need more houses built with clay and mud and Southwest, Mexico, New Mexico. You go with, like, the West African, elements, like the Kingdom of Mali. Like, you get some really cool, like, mud buildings,
mm-hmm.
and a different style of architecture that you don't see often in fantasy, but which would work in so many settings. Like, just why not? I don't know. There's a million things.
Because all architecture starts with the materials that you have present locally.
Like, I know. And
the region in Turkey, Cappadocia, that has all of those, you know, the fairy chimneys, they call them, these naturally occurring rock spires.
Yeah.
And then they just carved caves into them.
Yeah.
And they're, well, because that's what there was there first, before supply chains were really a thing.
Yeah. All right. So let's move into our tease of our noodles. What idea did you bring today? What are you building? Is it a building of spaghetti?
Let me whisper in your ear.
Okay. You can do that.
Okay, cool. I'll go first. I guess if you want to share your words.
I just want to say the words.
Fine, say the words, Kyle.
That's the principle of this podcast.
Say the words, Kyle.
Offensive architecture. I think you should go first, though.
I will.
Because you already claimed it, so I'm just going to respect your wishes.
You got to respect dibs.
Yeah, you didn't say dibs, though.
They were implied dibs.
Implied dibs are not this. This is a famous debate. You have to say dibs. Implied dibs don't count.
Whatever, Kyle. Whatever. My idea is less about a particular style of architecture and more about a kind of the physics of architecture. I was reading up cool things in architecture, looking for ideas here. I came across the Whispering Gallery, which is a architectural phenomena, basically, that happens in a lot of dome structure where a person can stand in one specific location
and then hear this someone the other
and hear someone on another side or in another location, or a normal voice can echo across the whole room. It's a way of playing with acoustics, and I thought that was really cool. I thought that was really neat. So my idea has to do with an architectural system for a capital city where it is designed so that the leader, be it the president, the ruler, the master, the great wizard who's secretly in charge of everything, the man behind the curtain who's pretending to be God, I don't really care, whoever is in charge of the city, there is a point or a place in their chamber of command, in their center of power, their home base or keep, where they can stand and speak normally, and their voice will be heard at a normal level throughout the entire city, purely through acoustics, so that is how they communicate their will to the people.
Okay.
So the entire city is a...
can hear this one person.
This one person, they have to stand in a very specific point in order for it to work.
And can they hear the other people? Because this is usually a two-way street when it comes to the real world examples.
Not this time.
Okay.
So no, it does not go back the other way. It is a one-way whispering gallery.
Okay. Before we move on, before we move on to further questions, what if it wasn't one way, but it was such a cacophony of noise? It was so deafening that whoever did it, they have to plug their ears to go into there, and then they would speak, but they couldn't hear anything.
I like that idea too. That's a good alt.
Yeah. So
good job.
Potential alt.
Bring that in there.
Yeah. So is the whole city under a dome then?
Oh, I don't care about the actual physics of it. Like, it can be made out of a material that reflects sound differently or something like that. That's less important to me that the city itself is actually under a dome. I think it could be under a dome. That could be cool.
I think given this is an architecture episode, I think it should be under a dome.
Okay, fine. Then let's have it be under a dome.
I think the whole city's under a dome and it's like a city state.
Sure.
So it's like pretty contained.
Sure.
This is, you know, and like that dome is...
Dome sweet dome.
Dome sweet dome. And maybe it's like, it's just, what if it's the dome has been under construction for a long time to make this a reality that they could start doing this. And now they're nearly done with it, where the dome is like at the edge of the city is being like, it's still not complete there. So if you're in that spot, you can't be heard and you can't hear them. There's still like one little alcove that is yet, you know, because that could definitely play into any story sure. implications, that there's still this one little spot that is immune to this dictator's verbal voice, you know, verbal will, the voice, whatever.
Oh, I like the verbal will. Yeah. That's cool.
So they just say, like, it's not like there's magic powers where they command people. They just, they just say.
This is purely through architectural design.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that idea, and I think that is a cool strategy of thinking through, hey, what is this cool thing that exists, and how can I just ever so slightly enhance it to make it a little bit, you know, sort of like we did with the volcano snail.
Yeah.
We're like, this thing is really cool, and it exists. Let's just make it ever so slightly more so of itself. So this is sort of where I'm going with that. I had also tried to figure out a way to maybe have the person in charge be able to turn the entire city into an anechoic, I think is how you pronounce it. The completely muffled, where there is no noise coming through.
Ooh, I like that.
And so maybe I'm thinking there's a switch there somewhere where, like, you send an electrical current throughout the walls and it spreads throughout the whole city very quickly, and then suddenly all sound is dampened so that they can't hear anything. There's no echoing of noise anywhere. So
throughout the city, whole... Fuck.
So I'm trying to play with the noise here. So it started with the Whispering Gallery of, what a cool way to say, to have the ruler be able to access all people at one time, or the voice, you know, the mouth of Sauron be able to speak on their behalf at all time and be heard wherever anyone in the city was at any time. It did not matter. I thought that was a really cool idea. The anechoic chamber was a follow-up to that of, what if there's a rebellion, and one, how could you shut it down if you were getting afraid? Well, just make it so that there is no noise and everything, there are no acoustics, and everything gets communication gets much more difficult.
I think it's so good. I love the follow-up. I love the idea that it, because this is a, in the case that this is a dictatorial regime, they've weaponized the sound element to I mean, because they could also do it, what if, because you could do the muffling thing, which is basically just torturing everybody.
Yep.
You could also do it where, say, they just
big ass gong,
or just they start like play music, they have like a recorder or whatever, like, you know, like this is very steampunky in my head right now.
Yeah.
So like in a steampunky, they just put a record player in the spot, so everyone can just hear this record being played across the whole place.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you have the Edith Piaf moment, you know, from Inception, and you just hear that echoing across the entire world.
You went that I was going
Private Ryan?
No, I was going Shawshank.
Ah. Waltz of Shawshank. There's several instances where people have played Edith Piaf over a record.
I don't think he plays Edith Piaf. I forget who he plays. Plays classical.
He does. Yeah.
I forget who it is.
Weaponizing the idea that everyone can hear you from this spot, like, it doesn't just have to be commands. It can then be overwhelming them with sound where they cannot have silence.
Yeah.
You cannot plan anything. You cannot talk to people. I will deafen you through this record player, through this gong, through whatever. I will torture this city. I will wake everybody up at the crack of dawn in a systematized way. You can build a totalitarian society with this weird panopticon of sound.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fucking incredible. That would be so interesting. That's
where I was going with big ass gong.
Yeah.
Let me start that sentence over. That's where I was going with big ass gong. where instead of speaking quietly, if you went in there and started making a very loud sound, either with a gong or a screech or something, or just yelling, it would reverberate and echo and damage everyone. I mean, you could weaponize acoustics that way.
Yeah. You have sonic weaponry.
Built and, into the city.
Yeah. And you just have the ability to control people's lives by saying, nope, no more sleep. Get up.
I also, not for nothing, really like the idea of the ruler's little kid, like, sneaking into the room
and
just saying, like, boobs and butts. And just, like, being a stupid little kid. I just think that would be funny.
That'd be a big embarrassment for the...
Yeah, but I think that would be a cool D&D backstory, right? It's like, yeah. Oh, you're the kid. You're the child of the ruler who got exiled for messing with the mass communication system.
Yeah. Well, and
be a great bard backstory.
Back to the room itself, like the architecture and like the imposing nature of that room would be really interesting, because that is like, I imagine it would be like a very like a small little loft room at like the top of this, like, you know, central tower of the dome, because it would need to be probably in a center point if it's everywhere in the dome that can hear this. And you know, you would go up there and it would just be nothing except for like maybe like a roped off little area to designate, do not go in this spot. This is the spot they can hear. And that moment where, you know, the characters or whoever reach this point, and very much like Andor, whenever Kino and Andor are doing the prison break and they get to the mic and they get to make the announcement, like having that moment, your characters get to make it to that spot. And like the intensity of walking up to this location, like to this little pinpoint where you get to now tell the whole city something and say, he's dead.
Mm-hmm. Great moment.
That would be a great moment.
Fantastic moment.
And you can really sell that room. Like that is the environmental storytelling of that is fantastic, especially because you can describe some intricate, strange architecture that makes this like actually work. Mm-hmm. That you can't see anywhere but this location, because this is the center of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's not architecture.
No, I think
maybe it's magic.
No, it's not magic. It is architecture. Right, the whole idea of this is that it to be architecture.
Yeah.
But I like your idea of saying it is some weird alien feeling. It is so intense and so theoretical from our perspective.
It's like being in sensory deprivation rooms.
Yeah, it would have to be very similar to a sensory deprivation room, because you would need to ensure that whatever is said there is said very deliberately. So yeah. I imagine actually there are two sort of doors. There's one door where the speaker enters, and then they are sealed off. Multiple, you know, it's an airlock basically from the outside. Then they have to go in again, and then even from once you're inside there, it is that sensory deprivation room.
Yeah.
But then you have to open, maybe it's just a very small panel into a tunnel, and that is where, or into a cone out or something, right? But there it is. I like that airlock idea into a sensory deprivation room.
I think the airlock works. I think it works well if it's a airlock kind of thing into, because it also keeps noise from entering this chamber.
Correct.
But then you enter the room and it is, you know, I'm imagining that moment where you're running this as a TTRPG at the table, and you cut the music and like the whole room is silent.
Yeah.
And you just slowly like approach the spot. You start to hear a little bit like the rumblings of something. And then you step into the precise spot, and that's when it all comes crashing into your eardrums. It'd
be a great moment.
Yeah. All right. That's that idea.
That's it.
Love it.
Yep. Citywide whispering chamber.
Or gonging.
Or gong.
All right. My idea.
Yeah. Tell me what you got. I want to hear about offensive architecture.
So this can be offensive, it can be defensive, it can be whatever.
Everything. Offensive versus defensive is just context.
A good offense, the best offense is a good defense, the best defense is a good offense.
I mean, look, a shield is a defensive tool that would also, if you got hit in the face with a big sheet of metal, it would hurt.
Correct. Okay, moving on. are you familiar with Roman concrete?
Yes, it was the kind that would repair itself, right?
It repairs itself. It is incredibly durable. And importantly, it holds up to water.
Why did we stop using it?
First of all, we didn't know the recipe for a long time. And now it's mostly a cost thing.
Okay.
It's so expensive to make this cost because it requires a bunch of lime that is hard to just, we just don't have it in the quantity that would be necessary for the amount of concrete that we use in the modern world.
Got it.
So it's just too expensive. Got it. Everything's about cost, but it works well in water. So you can actually use it in water. So I love the idea of a massive amount of Roman concrete being deployed to build in the water, in bays, in harbors, in where the water is shallow enough, you can actually get down there and you can basically build piers. You know, you can build pillars. You can build, you know, like nowadays we can, we will go put steel down at the bottom of those beds or whatever. But, you know, in a fantastical world, doing that with just tons of Roman concrete and basically saying, well, we are building just a solid structure now out into this water. This city is now extending. Very much like the Chinese in the South China Sea.
Yep.
We're just claiming this land. So you can use it very defensively. You can build up structures like that. You can go build a platform in the middle of the, like, you know, maybe there's like a little like a sand shoal. What's the word?
Sandbar.
Sandbar. Yeah. You could be able, maybe you can find a little sandbar out in the bay, and you build around it, and you build a big concrete structure that now is a staging point or is a barrier so no ships can come in this way, however you want to do it. But then what if you then deploy it the other way?
Yeah, because you said offensive, and I'm curious about that.
And so you then go to other cities that you're attacking that are on the water, and you build with this concrete around their harbor. And you basically lay siege by fully, what's the word? You lay siege by blockading them fully, not with your ships, but you build structures that mean that their ships cannot leave. They cannot, like, they're going to have to go through concrete now to get out. So you can do that by building like a straight solid wall across their harbor, which, you know, in my brain, this is very Roman engineers. They're doing this probably very quickly. They might do it overnight. You're at sleep.
Yeah, like, I'm interested in.
So you just erect a wall across their harbor. Good luck getting out now.
How do you do that so quickly, though? In this fantasy world,
you have a ton of engineers. I think it's like it's a sheer quantity thing, and it's you have enough of this concrete already mixed, ready to go. You have engineers and divers who just go down, just lay, go fast. And it's just, it's a elbow grease kind of thing. You just got to do it. And you can also do it in where you don't actually have to make a solid wall. You just make pillar. No major ships can get through.
Yeah.
You can bring a canoe through.
Yeah.
That'll be helpful.
That might make, I think that would actually, just because you said building pillars for a pier earlier.
Yeah.
We already have the technology to deploy this very quickly because of that. So now we're building all the pier builders. Right. We're bringing all the pier builders with us to war.
All right. So here's what you do. You have specially designed ships that have containers. They have molds made that are, say, 50 foot tall molds on the side of a ship. You fill them with concrete. You know, they have a bottom on them. You get to where you're going, drop it like an anchor, and then like pull the button, you're like pull the lever, whatever, it releases the bottom out, and you pull the whole thing like when you set up a Jenga tower, and now you've deployed a pillar, and it'll dry soon, or it'll solidify momentarily. You can then use those pillars however you want.
Yeah.
But the base thing is that is the idea that you could use architecture offensively and build in a way that you're not building weapons.
Right.
You're building them into a corner.
Right.
I think a lot of this is very much Roman inspired because the Romans did so many engineering feats and they went to war so often, and they often did incredible engineering feats while at war, but it was often building fortifications and building weapons. And it was rare they'd be like, well, we're just going to, like, what if you said, okay, well, we're going to build an aqueduct to drain your water supply. So now you actually, our siege is going to be really effective because we're just going to take away the water supply that you had by building an aqueduct and plugging yours. It's like, great. Well, we now have your water in this city over here. We're building a new city. It's right next door. You want to come over here? You're welcome to come over here, but we're going to be in charge.
I think it's great.
It's removing the agency of this enemy without violence.
Yeah.
Through suffocation.
Right. You are forcing wars of attrition.
You're forcing wars of attrition. Or you're just forcing attrition.
Or siege. It's a different approach to siege warfare.
It's different. It's just sieges. It's not even siege warfare. It's just siege inconveniences. It's warfare, but it's like, I think framing it in a different way, that's like, there is not a intent for violence. They prefer not to have this be violent, and I guess that's the case with a lot of war, but they're doing this in the middle of the night. They are sneak attacking. They are trying to just handicap you as fast as possible. I don't know.
I think that's cool.
And then they can also build rapid fortifications for themselves out at sea. And maybe they know how to quickly destroy it. If they say, great, well, now we've won, now we want the thing, we'll destroy these pillars and we get back into the port.
I think there's some really fun applications for damming rivers.
Yeah. Yeah, you could absolutely fuck up a society real quick by damming a river. Yeah, that's really interesting. I like
that's
that.
It's just easy.
It's super easy. You absolutely destroy them by damming up every river.
Yeah. And I like when you started describing the way that the Roman concrete mixes with water, I have an alt to this though.
Okay.
You're a seafaring society that find coral that can be dried up. And when it is dehydrated, it shrinks down to 1/100th of its original size. It still maintains its structural integrity, but it's just super tiny and super, super condensed. You then could take that coral and use that as your building material. So you build out tiny structures using this coral. Or actually, let me rephrase, you would probably build out full-size structures using this coral, then dehydrate it, pull it out of the water, and then you could deploy it and just add water to get it to rehydrate and grow back to full size.
Unhinged. I love the idea that you're taking like the coral, and I love the idea that this is a people who have discovered a new substance, essentially, that they have cracked the code on how to use a substance that already exists. It's not just new technique. It's that they now have a monopoly on this coral, and they can use it however they see fit, whether it's the just that water thing, whether it's some other way of using this coral where they just can throw out big, they get like some little just balls of baseball size, and they throw them in and they just create blockades by they put spikes on them and they basically make the tank barriers whenever you're like at Normandy, remember that, you just do that. It could be that you're very pirate like and you sneak onto ships and you throw these into the bottom deck, and then the whole ship is now fucked because this thing is now like blocking your ability to drain the water.
Fuck that. Put it on the tip of a spear and throw it underwater or a harpoon.
What do you mean?
So you put a little sphere with a bunch of this coral under tremendous pressure, attach that to the tip of a harpoon. You go underwater, you throw it. It hits, it cracks, the water gets in, and then the coral expands.
Coral would have expanded already, though.
No.
When it went in the water, right?
No, because it's protected in a shell.
Oh, okay.
So that you throw it, and then when it hits, that's when the shell breaks.
Like a grenade.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
But underwater so that it's a spear, a harpoon, a torpedo, something like
that. Yeah, I think that's kind of cool. And now we've just moved into general weaponry and out of the architecture.
But I think the architecture.
The idea of the coral being able to expand is an interesting architectural element, because then you could also, I mean, if you just take away the offensive and just say, what if they just can build a little city on some atoll somewhere with this coral that they've gotten, where they can now build these links, like this link between all these little islands, and have it be this tropical paradise city made out of coral, where they otherwise, they do not have the wood, they do not have the stone, they don't want to bother with it, but you know, they have an abundance of a bunch of coral.
Well, and imagine it could be very easily used for warfare. Imagine if you are an island nation who thinks, oh, our navy is so powerful, no one can get to us. Our navy would just blockade them. We get past them.
Yeah.
Jesus, I can't talk, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Overnight, you deploy a bunch of these coral, make a pathway so that an entire army can run across the water, completely circumnavigating
the
naval warfare.
Yeah, that's intense. I love that.
So it's, yes, it is absolutely offensive.
Yeah. But also, one more shot before we move on to just the idea of using coral as a building material in and of itself is pretty cool, especially if they're able to manipulate it in some way. Having this island nation have buildings just made out of the coral, and maybe like the Great Palace is made out of this coral, which is otherwise expensive and difficult to work and temperamental, but they're able to make this beautiful, like multicolored structure, this palace out of the coral, which symbolizes so much about who these people are.
I love it.
I think it's pretty cool. Yeah. All right, done with those.
Dope.
Let's just move on to what's like for us, because fuck it, why not? Yeah. I want to talk about that instead of some lasagna.
I like the coral. I like the acoustics. I like them both.
So verbose of you.
Yes.
Way to give great detail about why things stuck with you and what stuck for you.
There's I think the coral's a great weapon to be used for an underwater society. I think there's just a lot of fun there. The acoustics, I really like having the ability to communicate be weaponized against you.
Yeah.
That's what's interesting to me about having acoustics being controlled like that. It's not something that I've seen a huge amount of, and I think that's really fun.
I think it was the second part of the acoustics thing. It was you can whisper, oh, and they can shut down your senses, and then kind of like as we discovered the like, oh, they're weaponizing it. I think that I love, and I, as we were talking about, it's like getting kind of goosebumps thinking about that evolution of that city, as this dictator is increasingly using this sound aggressively and to torture the people and to keep them under their thumb, and then when the rebellion happens against it eventually, and that heroic moment where the heroes can see behind that that airlock thing you're discussing, the sound lock, specifically, they can see the room, they can see the chamber where they can maybe, you know, announce he's dead, and maybe they
you're
can
free,
or maybe they can remove whatever device is currently there making sound to drive everybody crazy, to remove that, to create the silence again, and to, you know, and then to like, you know, leave an explosive that blows the dome apart here, so the dome's acoustics no longer work. I think that cinematic moment that we found, I think, is really good. And that's what sticks for me.
Just go full Black Bolt from Marvel Comics, whose voice is so destructive, he can only speak at a whisper. When you're in that room, if you go above a certain pitch, the vibrations will actually start destroying the city and destroying the dome.
Well.
So you go in there, you whisper, you're free, run. And then you scream and you bring down the city.
Well, you want to destroy the city, or just
once everyone's free?
It might be a while.
Yeah, well,
just be a
cinematic moment.
It'd be a cinematic moment.
It would still be a cinematic moment.
Yeah.
Go full Black Bolt.
You got to structure it well just to make sure you don't accidentally just murder everybody.
Correct.
But yeah. You know, what about the sick and the old who take forever to move out?
Then you give them time.
These can be a while. You have to.
That's what stuck for us.
Let us know what's stuck for you.
Emails in the show notes.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.